Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show and best of the season.
Hey, happy holidays and Merry Christmas.
Sean, how did the U.S. stock markets do this year, and how did you do playing those markets?
I don't know how the stock markets themselves did. I think the S&P 500 had an okay year. I did pretty good. And in fact, we just closed out a whole bunch of gains in both Supercycle Investor and Resource Trader. Resource Trader, we closed out a bunch of uranium stock gains because the stocks weren't really tracking uranium anymore. So I just decided to take a break over the holidays. I still have some uranium positions, but I sold most of them, took some nice gains, took some okay gains, didn't lose anything. I consider that a win. Supercycle Investor, we're really playing the AI boom and how that's starting a new technology supercycle. And so that's actually turned into quite a profitable thing for us. So, you know, I mean, we took some nice triple-digit percentage gains on it, on a call option related to that, and we're just loading up for more because I think there's a boom this next year. I mean, I see so much good going on that the market is doing its darndest to ignore. But, even though Q3 GDP was just lowered, it was cut to 4.9%, which most of your listeners should know is, you know, red hot. And then the Atlanta Fed raised its GDP growth forecast for the fourth quarter to 2.7%, which is above trend. What's driving that? Well, we have low unemployment. Real wages are growing. Gas prices are low. Not as low as we'd like them, but certainly lower than a year ago. Inflation is slowing. And though I've heard many people complain that the U.S. consumer is tapped out, you know, I just published a chart to my Resource Trader subscribers showing that household debt to GDP is quite low. It's a inflationary thing, really. Even though people think households have a lot of debt, in the grand scheme of things, they've had worse. So put that together and, you know, add in all the spending programs Uncle Sam is doing, like the Chips and Sciences Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, the infrastructure bill. All those things are just now starting to put money into the U.S. economy. What that points to is a really strong economy next year. Now, the stock market and the economy are two different things. They can move in distinctly opposite directions. That is true. But a strong economy does help some stocks, and we're starting to load up on some of those stocks. And so those stocks should do well. And so that's why, generally, I'm actually feeling quite bullish for next year.
Mm-hmm. What sector do you think is really going to catch fire?
Well, AI is already on fire, or at least it's smoldering, but I think it's going to get more exciting. That and the cloud and cryptocurrency, that all looks good to me. One that might surprise people, and let me explain my logic here, okay, is that I know that Wall Street is really down on oil right now. They hate oil. Well, that's fine because even though big institutional investors now hold a smaller share of their portfolios in commodities than they did even during the depths of the 2020 COVID crash, from a contrarian point of view, that's actually quite good. That means Anyone who wanted to sell has sold. That means if there's any good news at all, whether it's in oil or in maybe base metals, whatever, you know, we have everyone on one side of the boat, they're going to run to the other side of the boat. So the chance for a big move in that sector, commodities, but oil in particular, is actually quite high. It would not surprise me, having said that, and I don't mean to sound like I'm actually contradicting myself, but it's all a matter of time frames. In the short term, it wouldn't surprise me to see oil go lower because the Russians are cheating like crazy on their quotas. But at some point, the Saudis will have enough, and either they'll come up with some way to enforce those quotas on Russia, or they'll just produce so much that prices go way down, and so then production starts shredding in. What happens after that? Then there's enough production, and prices go higher again. So I'm expecting an oil price rally in the second half of next year anyway. And if you're buying the right stocks, that is, those that pay you to hold them, you know, it's okay to wait on something like that. In the meantime, what I am buying now is I was out of gold stocks for a while, and I've just started entering those in the past few weeks. I believe gold miners look poised for a breakout. We're already seeing strength in the underlying metal. Central banks are buying gold left and right. You can come up with a bunch of other reasons, too. And in fact, I hammer the table about them all the time over in my Weiss Ratings Daily free easing. But, you know, there's a lot of reasons why gold should go higher, but it just hasn't ignited. But I think we're going to see ignition probably in the first quarter of next year. And I think that the move that we're starting to see in gold miners right now is in anticipation of that. So I'm actually feeling pretty good about that. I'm not sure what else we've covered. I'm sorry. I'm a bit of a space case here today because we just have a lot going on. But that's basically how I'm approaching things.
Is gold going to be more popular because of unstable geopolitics?
Well, they keep threatening us with that, and yet that doesn't seem to work out. Gold could become more popular because of geopolitical things. That is, central banks around the world hate the fact that Uncle Sam uses the U.S. dollar as a weapon, and they want to insure themselves from that. One way to do that is to have more gold on hand. So I expect more central bank buying, more buying for reserves of all sorts. And, but then again, I mean, China had a really tough year the past year, but they are trying hard to get their economy going again. If they do, then the Chinese consumers should come back to the gold market, and that might be what moves it higher. I'm not sure exactly. All I can tell you is from price action, things are looking pretty good. I'm not sure what the exact drivers next year will be.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, traditionally, doesn't the U.S. government like to spend a lot in election years to try to look popular for voters?
Well, we have a two-party system, and you can't spend without the other party actually agreeing to it. Yeah. So that thing would work if one party controlled, you know, both houses of Congress and the presidency. What will happen next year is they'll have to work something out. Now, as I said before, there were a bunch of bills passed which are only now starting to pay things out into the economy. That is, we are starting to see those effects come in, and those will multiply. They'll actually spur spending by private corporations, so you'll actually see a lot more. So the bills have been passed before. We will see the economic benefit of stuff that was passed a while ago, and so that's really what I'm looking for. Not that they're going to come up with any new spending programs. I don't think they can pass a new spending program, except maybe aid for Israel, aid for Ukraine, and aid for Taiwan. But one of the things I like are defense stocks, and especially defense stocks with an AI edge, because the Pentagon is ready to just blast money into AI defense for all sorts of, you know, very good, sometimes terrifying reasons. I wouldn't want to be on the other side of it, but I can see why they're doing it, and so I'd like to own the stocks that are going to benefit from that.
Sure, something that can wheedle out the enemy in tunnels.
There's all sorts of things. I have a special report going out to my Supercycle investor subscribers, which is about what's going on with the AI and why I think that's triggering a tech supercycle, you know? And one of the things is definitely government spending on AI and drones and like stuff like that, because the nice thing about a drone is nobody cries when a drone dies. You know, there's no mom at home. There's no drones being captured and being held as a hostage, stuff like that. No one cares, and they are relentless. You combine that with AI, and you have something that will just pursue the enemy from here till doomsday as long as it's kept supplied and maintained. So, you know, that can really give you an edge in things. And also, they need AI because the Russians have been able to interfere with the Ukrainian control of drones, you know, remote control drones. But if they have AI, then how do you interfere with it? You don't really. I mean, you could try some way. Good luck. I doubt Russia really has that technology. They might get something from the Chinese. China is trying very hard to come up with its own AI weaponry. It's actually a program they have called the Assassin's Mace, where they try and come up with things that really have an effect on the battlefield that are out of proportion to the effort you put into it. So maybe that'll work. But in any case, with China pursuing that, that makes the Pentagon want to spend even more money on it, right? So you've got a lot going on here. And so, and whether it is Republican or Democrat, I've never met anyone in the U.S. Congress, except maybe Bernie Sanders, who doesn't like defense spending, because they like to bring that spending home to their own districts. So, you know, I think defense spending can get a pass, which makes me all the more eager to invest in select defense stocks right now. I don't mean everything will go up, though the ETFs should do well. But you should be selective with everything. It looks like the market is pricey right now. So let me talk short-term for a bit. We've had a big run-up in stocks that might take a while to digest. Maybe that'll happen in January. I don't know. But the reason we had a big run-up in stocks is because they get a lot of good news, and that good news is going to turn into fundamentals for these stocks down the road, which means if they run up and then they pull back, well, sure, the price will be pulling back as the fundamentals increase and they get more cash flow and stuff like that. So it's going to meet at a happy point, and then stocks are going to take off again. So this really comes down to why I am bullish on stocks in 2024. There's a lot of things have come together, and it's really looking quite good. And I know you can't turn on the TV without someone telling you economic doom and gloom or stock doom and gloom and all that stuff. Those guys were wrong for all of 2023. Keep that in mind. The same people who are trying to feed you doom and gloom now were consistently wrong for all of 2023. And they made money, but they made money selling their opinions to people who lost money. So don't listen to those guys. Listen to what's going on in the market. If you're in real estate or like maybe car sales, I know that's really tough. I know there's a lot of hardship out there for certain things, but for the broad economy, it actually looks pretty good. So outside of select sectors, you know, and stuff like that, things look very good, and that's a rally that I want to ride.
Sean, even if Assassin's Mace doesn't work out for the Chinese military, it sounds like a terrific name for a video game.
I guess so. You go around clobbering people. You know, I mean, we'll just have to see. It is a brave new world. It's a scary new world. I hate the fact that we waste so much money on weapons. I would much rather we build cool new technologies. Did you know there are people out there who think they can use AI to talk to whales? It's a program that's under development now. And I'm not saying it's going to be anytime soon, but they say AI should enable them to actually talk to whales. Isn't that something cool? I'd much rather spend money on that, finding out what whales think about things, than blowing up people on the other side of the globe. But the problem is, it's a harsh, brutal, and unforgiving world, and you need the absolute best defense you can possibly get, because the bad guys are not slowing down and they aren't resting. So we need this. So as much as I hate it, we are going to invest a lot more money into weapons, especially AI weapons. And so for investors, that's a trend that can really work out.
And if you remember that Star Trek movie directed by Leonard Nimoy, where they had to communicate with humpback whales.
I had forgotten all about that. I would have put that in my column, damn it.
The hell you say. What am
I?
Sean, that. Great chatting with you. Have a great Christmas and New Year, and may Santa be generous to all.
I hope the jolly white elf, the jolly fat elf, of course he's white, he's what, 600 years old?
he's on Ozempic this year.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Well, maybe the jolly skinny elf in that case. But whoever he turns out to be, I hope he's nice to you and yours, and you have a great Christmas and a wonderful New Year to come.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.